I was supposed to turn that on. He said, I want you to leave, but he doesn't tell you where you're going to go. And really, walking with the Lord is really a walk of faith. And trusting in Him, trusting that He knows that He actually has a plan, and that His plan is good, and that we can trust Him in it. And so to walk with Christ is to walk by faith. Many people have this idea today of God that, you know, if you walk with God, then life will be easy and good. And His purposes for you are to be successful and wealthy and healthy. And people who say these things, I wonder where they get them, because this is not the God of the Bible. In fact, to walk with the Lord does require really some challenges, some difficulties. He tells him to leave his family, to leave everything that he is familiar with, and to go to an unknown location. But then he also tells him something that's really quite astounding. He says, I'm going to make you a great nation. Now, some of you might know that in the writing of this, Abram was not a young man, and he had no children. He was 75. And so here it is implied that the Lord is going to bless him with children. And then he speaks of how through his descendants he will be a great nation. He says in verse 2, I'll make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. He's going to make his name great, and through him he is going to be a blessing. The will of God is not always easy. In fact, the will of God is often difficult. The will of God involves walking by faith. I prefer to know what tomorrow will bring, but I do not. But I know who brings tomorrow. You know, if you wish to walk with the Lord, then it involves trusting Him. Can you trust God with your life? Can you trust Him with everything? Can you trust Him with the details of your life? We like to make plans. And in our culture, we have the capacity to make lots of plans. We live in an abundant country. But so much is out of our control. And it's good to know that. And to be able to trust in Him. And notice here, He says, I will make you a great nation. And you will be a blessing. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Which is really quite a remarkable thing. Matthew Henry writes of this passage. He says, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This was the promise that crowned all the rest, for it points at the Messiah, in whom all the promises are yea and amen. Jesus is the great blessing of the world, the greatest that ever the world was blessed with. He says, it is a great honor to be related to Christ. And this made Abraham's name great, that the Messiah was to descend from his loins. And then we just read in Galatians 3, which also speaks of this. You know, Revelation is progressive, and latter revelation sometimes gives us insight on earlier revelation, and this is very much the case in Revelation, in Galatians 3. In verse 7, he says, writing of this passage regarding Abram, he says, know then that it is of those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abram, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed, along with Abraham, the man of faith. So God lets us know from the very beginning that his redemptive purposes will include not just Abraham, but the entire world. Not just Jews, but Jews and Gentiles. One theologian writes about the nations. He says, how should you feel about the nations of the world? A passion for their salvation and a thrill that God rules over them all and calls us to be his emissaries to them, all with the best news in the world. And that he will have a people of his own from all the nations singing to him and ascribing glory and strength to his name. So the good news of the gospel is for the nations. Some people say, well, you know, it just seems like it was restricted to the Jews. But if you look in Genesis in the very beginning, and then even throughout the Old Testament, they were to bring the news of the triune God to the world. Psalm 67 says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth and your saving power among all nations. Skipping down to verse 4, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. And it's very clear that a descendant of Abraham will be the means of God's blessing. The gospel makes this clear, that Jesus is the descendant of Abraham. Matthew 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. The son of David, the son of Abraham. And then, of course, the great commission that Jesus gives to his disciples at the end of his earthly ministry, right before the ascension. He writes in Matthew 28, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The gospel is for the nations. Over my short life, I've had opportunities to travel to a number of nations, really primarily for the purpose of telling others about Christ. When I was a student at Auburn, I went to the Soviet Union, to Russia. Now, this was before Perestroika, and the Soviet Union was not open. And so we went in there. I went in there with a group, and it was very much undercover. I can't believe my parents let me do this. I don't think I would let my child have done this. But I desperately felt called to go there. We didn't speak Russian, but we memorized the gospel in Russian from a tape. And we were going to try to share the gospel. Imagine not knowing a language, but literally memorizing the gospel. That's about all I can remember from the tape, some 30-some years ago. But, you know, that was my first, I think, experience overseas. It was a very difficult summer. Very difficult. But I saw the Lord do a number of things. And then a few years later, I spent a couple years in Thailand. Two summers in Thailand with Chip Savick, if some of you know him. He had gone to that country to start Campus Crusade there. And I spent a couple summers there. And then after seminary, when I was serving in Trinity with Dr. Dole, I went with numbers of mission groups to South America, to mostly Peru and Ecuador and Colombia in that area. A missionary that we knew ministered in that area, and so went there a number of times. And then when I moved down to Troy to pastor there, I got connected with a church in Brazil, and so I went to Brazil. I'm not really sure how many times, but a number of times where I was connected with the church there and folks down there. I've always had a heart for the nations. But something that was really interesting, as I served as a pastor in Troy. Troy has a large number of international students from countries that we can't easily send missionaries to. From India, from China, from the Middle East. And it's noteworthy that the Lord tells us to disciple the nations, and then he has brought the nations to us. He literally has brought the nations to us. There are over a million students from across the world who are studying in our country on the college campuses. Over a million. Now, at Auburn, I believe that 10%, almost 10%, maybe it's 9% of the student population is from overseas. And many of these students are from countries that we cannot send missionaries. It's not a place that we can easily go. And almost two-thirds of those students that are here are from what's called the 1040 window, that area in Europe, in the Middle East, and Africa, where there's very little gospel witness. And yet the Lord in his providence has sent many from these countries to study in the States. And it's a great ministry opportunity. Almost 40% of the world leaders today studied in the United States. Almost 40%. And the government statistics, they believe that there will be that many more in the future. Future leaders are currently studying here. The Washington Times reported almost 300 current former leaders have participated in the American academic program. And then the U.S. Department of State, literally, they list these different countries and where they came from. And it is estimated that one-fourth to one-half of future leaders are studying in our campus today. And then there are people here that we literally cannot take the gospel to. In Troy, our church was literally across the street from the campus where the international dorm was. And so these students would just wander over to our church, which was really quite interesting. And over the years, we had opportunities to minister to people from all over. And Troy is much smaller than Auburn, so it really, in some ways, is somewhat easier to get involved in their lives. We had one older gentleman, though, who was from South Korea. Now, South Korea is not closed. They have a strong Christian church there. But he came to our church. He was a retired gentleman that came to the States for the purposes of learning English. And he wandered into our church. We got to know him. He went on a trip with a bunch of us to Mississippi when we went down to do relief after a hurricane had done a lot of damage. He had no interest in knowing about God, but he was very interested in practicing his English. And he attended an older gentleman's Sunday school class, and through his involvement in our church, he was converted. He came to know the Lord. And he told me, he said, you know, I came to the States to learn English, and God brought me here to teach me about himself. And this gentleman then led a young man from, he was a very instrumental young man from Japan to the Lord. Now, if you know anything about world history, those two nations are not really that close because of some historical things. Here you have a South Korean leading a Japanese student to the Lord. You know, God is at work drawing people to himself. God is determined not only the ends, but the means to the ends, which is the gospel proclaimed. How can they believe in them in whom they have not heard? How can they hear unless one is sent? How blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. And so we are not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God into salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. And so it is no accident, I believe, that the Lord has brought these students from around the world to our neighborhood, to our campuses around us, to from places that we cannot go. And when they come here, they are more open than they would be in their own home. They're in a different culture. They're curious about experience in American culture. They're also curious about what we believe. And so it's really quite easy to make friends and to share your life with them. There were two young men that I met in the gym in Troy. I know some of you look at me and go, wow, he goes to a gym. Imagine what I would look like if I didn't go. Anyway, so I would go to this gym to exercise. I met these two young men who were from the Middle East. And one of them's English was fluent. The other one, he could not speak a word of English. He was here to learn English. Anyway, I over time got to be good friends with them. And they invited me to meet them for lunch. And only the one that did not know English showed up. The other one did not. I literally communicated with him that day through Google Translate. And we became really close friends over time. I began to pick him up several times during the week on the way to the gym because he didn't have transportation. And I taught him English as we would work out. And so his broken English got pretty good. And then I learned all about him, his family, his culture. He was Muslim, so we. But he began going to church with us, and he met numbers of families in our church. Everyone really liked him, and he was so faithful. Every Wednesday supper, prayer meeting that we have, he would be there. Sunday, he would be there sitting beside my wife. Now, he was a Muslim. Through this young man, we got to know the whole Arabic community. And it was really quite amazing. And over a period of time, he was exposed more and more to what we believe, and he saw the similarities, he thought, between... He was trying to make Christianity and Islam. He was trying to work out the differences between those two. And one day, he told us that he was half a Christian. I'm half Christian and half Muslim. I thought, wow, that's interesting. But, you know, that's really how the Lord often works. I mean, he can do things dramatically. The Lord can do what he wants. I've seen people come to know him in all kinds of different ways. Just, you know, a Chinese lady who had no interest in spiritual things, but she was doing a lot with the church just because of cultural things. And she was converted one day in a very unique way. It was just one day she went from unbelief to belief and was baptized. Very active member of the Communist Party in China. We baptized her last year. Another young man who had come, who is very, very intelligent, very bright. The students that come here really fall into like three categories. They're either really smart, they're here on scholarships, or they're really wealthy. How many of y'all have seen the really nice cars driving around town with international students? Some of them have families that just have a lot of money. Or the third is that they are very well connected. But I think what we ought to think about as the church in the U.S. and a lot of Christians around town is the Lord in his providence has brought these people to our back door. And it's such a great opportunity to minister to them. At Auburn, we have 48 countries on our campus. The three largest are China, India, and Saudi Arabia. You know how you do evangelism in Saudi Arabia? You ought to be willing to die if you try. And you know, you might lay a track down and then walk away and then see someone pick it up and watch how they respond. And then if they respond favorably, then you might initiate a conversation with them, but very overtly. But when I was in Troy, I'd go to this restaurant and sit down with all these Saudi students, and we would have rigorous discussions about what they believed and what we believed. It was quite amazing. Quite amazing. You know, God has brought the nations to our campus. And really through just, I would say, friendship evangelism. You don't have to know all the answers. You don't have to understand everything about what they believe. But to demonstrate the love of Christ to these students can have a huge impact on them. We have come here for the purpose of working with RUFI, which is a ministry to international students. And I would ask, one, that you pray. We've been involved with this kind of ministry for years, but we haven't done it full time. And so this is something that's new for us. A lot of students were involved in this ministry last year in a lot of the Christian groups. I know a lot of REF students were doing this, so we're going to. That's probably where we're going to start. But we're hoping to find others who would just be willing to befriend a student. Just share your life with them. You don't have to know everything in order to do this. Just to be able to befriend an international student. We're going to be having lots of activities, I think, over the next year where we'll get American Christians and international students together just for the purpose of getting to know more students. But these ministries really don't take place in large groups. They really take place one-on-one. I met this one student from mainland China. We became very good friends. He was very, very quiet about his family. Turns out he's from a very influential family in China. After I got to know him well, he finally told me about his father and what his father did. He is not a Christian. He doesn't believe in God, but he would come to church. We would have discussions about worldview, about politics, about economics. We talk about all sorts of things. Then he began to ask me to pray for him. I thought that was interesting. He would ask me to pray, and yet he didn't believe in God. So why was he doing that? When Kelly and I were about to move back to Auburn, he called, and he had left Troy and moved to another university. He called and knew we were moving. He said, "I'm going to come back and help you move." I said, "No, you don't need to do that." He said, "No, I want to. I'm going to come back to Troy. I'm going to help you move." I said, "No, you haven't been home in 2 years. You need to go and see your family." He said, "I talked to my dad, and my dad wants me to come and help you." I was like, wow, this is crazy. This young man drove from Texas to Troy and helped us pack a truck to drive to Auburn, just because of our friendship with him. And he said to me, he said, "My dad asked me if you were trying, if you wanted me to be a Christian, if you were trying to influence me." And I told him that. We talked about God some. And his dad said, "Well, you know, I do not believe in God, but it is okay if you want to believe in God." I thought that was fascinating. The Lord is at work drawing a people to himself from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And he's brought the nations to us. Not everyone is gifted in cross-cultural ministry. This is not a ministry that probably everyone needs to be involved in, but this is a ministry that the church does need to be involved in. So we are excited to be here and to be among you and to be involved with this. I will close with this. In Revelation 7, it says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all the tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" And the psalmist writes, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Our hymn of response is, "Arise, my soul, arise." Let's stand and sing together.
Arise, my soul.